If you haven't discovered it yet, fishing can be a relaxing hobby. Fishing. Have you gone fishing? Someone did not like fishing because he never caught anything. It's a waste of time for him. Well, fishing, like any other activity, it requires knowledge, it requires information. How to catch fish, how to choose your rod and reel, which bait you would use, what fish can be caught, where to catch fish, and when to go fishing. Of course, a rookie fisherman would choose to go fishing at the most convenient time, at the most convenient place, and they would go. It's fair weather, or it's summer. Those are the time when rookie fishermen go fishing. What is the best time for fishing? Did you know? If it is better to go fishing when it's cold and it's sunny, when it's rainy and cloudy, like today it's cloudy. Fishing during fair weather is much preferable. You like that. You want to go out there in fair weather. But to expect great catch, to expect the fish you want to catch, hot summer may not be the best time for fishing. If you expect to catch pickerel or walleye in summer, you might be frustrated if you don't catch one. Fish are more active, accordingly, searching for food when it's rainy, when it's cold, when it's cloudy. So this time, when it's drizzling a little bit outside and it's cloudy, the fish are very active. Whereas fish are not very active during warm weather in summer. Maybe, just like humans, they like to relax a little bit and not do anything, but accordingly, there's lesser oxygen in the water when it's hot. So I don't know if that is really the scientific explanation. But do you think praying for great catch help you to catch more fish in summer? Let's meditate on what the Lord Jesus Christ told Simon Peter in Luke chapter 5, verse 47. Let's read together. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Well, traditional fishermen prefer fishing at night more than fishing at noonday. Simon went fishing at night, but caught nothing. At the time, he caught nothing. At daybreak, he obeyed the Lord. And the Lord told him, let down the net for a catch. Let down the net for a catch. Simon heard it very clearly what to do. Simon did not guess, what should I do? He knew that he had to let down the net. And the Lord said, for a catch. And he did. He saw a miracle when he obeyed. After that miracle, Simon followed the Lord Jesus and became his disciple. And later, Jesus gave him the name Peter. Do you trust it that if we obey the instruction of Christ, that if we obey the instruction of Christ, we see miracles? When God gives instruction, it's very clear. We do not guess. You know already what to do. There's no doubt, there's no hesitation in our hearts when we hear the Lord's instruction. Well, will we see miracles at work? Will we see miracle in school when we obey the Lord or in any situation? Or do we need miracle to be inspired and become more serious and sincere in our faith as disciples of Christ? Do we need miracles? The time is coming when Christ returns. He returns sooner, and he will expose, he will reveal who genuinely trust him and who don't trust him just yet, not yet. At that time, the Lord will reveal the true motive of the heart. Let's read verse 5 from our passage. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, it will receive their praise from God. Seriously, reflect now. Do you honestly expect praise from God? When Christ returns, do you expect that he will praise you before the congregation? Apostle Paul warned against judging nothing before the appointed time of the return of Christ. He rebuked the church of Corinth because they were divided whom they preferred. Some said, I follow Paul. Others said, I follow Apollos. Still others said, I follow Peter or Cephas, Kephas. Still others said, I follow Christ. There were numerous factions in the Corinthian church. Their decision was not rooted in their faith in Christ. They follow leaders they preferred, not because of faithfulness in the interpretation of the scripture. It's not based on their faithful interpretation of the scripture. In most churches, most of them, church split happens when there's this personal agenda motivates individuals to cause division and faction in the church. And others blindly follow carelessly. Someone called me, and he was very happy to say, oh, I know somebody. I know somebody, a pastor in Winnipeg. Oh, really? Who is that? Ah, I know this pastor. He's from the Philippines, and he's there. He was very happy. Oh, what's the name? And he told the name of the pastor. And I said, that I think that pastor came from the church, and he brought some of the church members. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, he said. But that's sad. Somebody had been trying to brag about his name, but finally he didn't feel so proud after hearing what happened. What can we do? It's very tempting to judge the mistake of others, but we are warned not to judge anything before the appointed return of Christ. Every motive of the heart will be exposed. Nothing will be hidden. What shall we do? We have to make sure that our decision, our words, our actions, it would earn praise from God. That should be our motivation. What am I doing? Do I do this? Do I decide on this so that I would earn praise from God? Well, how? Together, let's earnestly consider what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 38 to 39. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop this man. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. So it's not right for us to judge anybody, whatever they do. It could be that it's God working in their life. We don't know. But just as God works in their lives, God works in our lives, we should be thinking on how we would earn praise from God instead. Well, human ideas can be useful temporarily. It's temporal. In this world, everything has limitation. It cannot be forever. Somebody may tell you, I love you forever. Don't believe in that. That's not right. That's not true. It's just trying to impress you. I can forever be like something like that. In this world, in this generation, there's instant products that are very popular. You like to buy instant coffee. Do you still drink instant coffee, or you love brewed coffee? Or instant noodles. They have preserve of instant noodles. Well, instant noodles, instant no coffee are really good if you have reserved for them, especially during the pandemic. You cannot just go out and go buy your grocery, and all you have is instant noodles. And it's nice. Well, even bodybuilders desire to have instant muscles. What is your opinion about steroids? Well, there are medical steroids that may cure asthma or other illness. Unfortunately, bodybuilders use anabolic steroids to grow muscles. Think about this. Do bodybuilders know that anabolic steroids may destroy their bodies? Maybe, yes, maybe, no. But because they desire to grow muscles at a very short time, they use anabolic steroids illegally without prescription. Maybe they desire to be praised for their huge muscle, even if it takes risk of dangerous effect of to their life. You know, this is one of my, when we were in China, when Photoshop application has started, I tried to use that Photoshop. I look at the bodybuilder champion body and took my picture, cut the head of my picture and put it in the head of the bodybuilder and put it in PowerPoint and then printed it. And then I was thinking about that. That was crazy of me. And it's real. I don't know where I put that picture. But that's how people maybe, I don't know. They may not be expecting praise from God, but it's just their wicked thinking, just like me. Christian life is so risky. Also, we also risk our life building our spiritual muscle. Did you know that? But even with that, we would rather set our heart to eternal praise of God instead of longing for praise from human beings. So together, let's reflect what it advised in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Let's read together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to our earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Reflect on our spiritual condition. How's my spiritual life? Know that everyone is naturally sinful. Each of us. No one can say, I'm not thinking about sinning, and then that pride slowly creeping in the heart, and we start sinning. We cannot easily remove natural instinct, natural sinful instinct from humans, but God can. He can. Only God. If God is our creator, he can remodel us, reborn us by his grace, by his Holy Spirit. We should sincerely ask God, Lord, cleanse us from any unrighteousness. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. We must seriously ask God to fill us, empower us, inspire us with his Holy Spirit for us to live in righteousness. We just cannot do it on our own. So when others would comment, I thought you were Christian, why are you living like that? They expect Christians to live in righteousness, but we just cannot on our own. Don't force that, but because only by God's grace we can. Without the help of God, we cannot be righteous. When we are not conscious, when we are not dependent on the Holy Spirit of God, there is possibility that our natural sinful instinct will prevail over us. When that sinful instinct prevails over us, it dictates our mind, it dictates our decision, it dictates our speech, our action. The problem of division in the church of Corinth happened when their personal motives, their personal instinct, human instinct, they follow their personal agenda, because they allow their personal motive to prevail. Is it the will of God for the church to divide? Reflect on that. Let's read again, verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. Paul rebuked the church in Corinth because they allowed their personal preferences of leaders to cause faction among them. The faction and division are of human origin as opposed to unity. Unity does not come from human. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit produces unity in the church. Now the term, these things, where is that? Can you go back? Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself. That term, these things, pertains to the analogies about faction among the believers in Corinth. Some preferred to follow Paul, some preferred to follow Apollos. If those factions were caused by personal motives, or if it is motivated by sincere desire to follow the right doctrine of the Lord will reveal them when Christ returns. Maybe we can say this and that, but we don't really know their motive. What motivates them? What motivated them? We are also encouraged to follow what is written in the scripture. and not to add anything beyond it. This is what I understand about this. But is it written in the scripture what you understand? Following preferred leader may cause anyone to be arrogant. Well, and they oppose another faction. It is not beneficial to Christian community. Do you know anyone? They attend church because they like that beautiful building, beautiful sanctuary. How about they attend worship service because the band, the worship team, so beautiful, or because of eloquence of the speaker as reason? Well, there are people who attend large churches because they prefer to be anonymous. That is something questionable. There is no known blessing written in the Bible for anonymous believers. Did the Lord Jesus say, if you are an anonymous believer, you are so blessed? If you do not testify for me and make known that you are a believer of Christ, you will be blessed. What can you say? Now, here. Many of you have been praying, perhaps purchase a new vehicle. Now, purchasing new vehicle this time is there's a waiting time. It's hard, maybe, if you are looking for a brand new car. Maybe you are waiting 12 months or 24 months or even 3 years, I don't know. But when you purchase new vehicle, you are given a warranty with number of years, maybe 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, I don't know. When something wrong happens to your new car, maybe it's vandalism or accident, the company may cover the damage for free. But for whatever reason, the engine of your car is damaged in a few years. Car dealership, where you bought your car, they will check. They'll check. They'll see if you have any record that you have regular maintenance appointment with them. You will see record. Where was your first appointment with us? And by any chance, you did not have regular maintenance appointment in the record, because you did not go and let your new car maintain at the car dealership, you may not be qualified to benefit for your car warranty. But I did it myself. Well, how are we sure that you did it properly? So read the warranty fine print in there before you do something else. Car maintenance record is essential to the car dealership. They want to see if you go there regularly. Why? For record purposes. Why? They need that document. They need that proof of anyone who would be qualified to avail of the warranty benefits. Well, how can we relate that document records to our spiritual life? Does the Lord record our activities so that when He would bless us, He has that record to see, Lorenzo, I have record for you. You did this, you did that. Let's reflect on what Christ declared in Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 36. Let's read together. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The Lord has records of every good works we do. Records of good works that will be his basis to bless all believers who will receive inheritance in the kingdom of God. Well, many people, they boast about material things, commendations they receive on earth. But our mindset should be, will I receive praise from God? That should be our mindset. Let's read again verse 7 of our passage. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Now that term, different, is properly interpreted as distinguish. What makes you distinguish from anyone else? Recognize is also properly translated as recognize or superior. What makes you recognize? What makes you superior from anyone else? Apostle Paul rhetorically asks what makes the Corinthian Christians superior or distinguished from others. When they declared their preferred leader, did they desire to be recognized? Yeah, we are followers, we are fans of Apollos. We are followers of Paul. Something like that. Think about that during election. The followers of such and such leader, they would be very proud waving their flags, because they want to identify with that leader. Others, they also want to identify with that leader. And they think that their leader is much superior than the other leader. The same with the other followers. They think that their leader is much superior than the other leader. This is very right in the Corinthian church. What makes you different? What makes you superior? What makes you distinguished from others? Did you feel superior and assume that their preferred leader was more distinguished than the leaders that others preferred to follow? Of course, if you perform your best, if you did your best, you achieve what you have accomplished, whatever you have accumulated, whatever you have attained in life, others may not criticize you if you want others. Yes, this is what I attained, this is what I have, this is what I accomplished, this is what I gained, because they know you did your best. Yet most often, achievers, they are very humble. They do not even want others to know what they have achieved. But those people who have little achievements, they try to amplify what they have achieved for others to see it in a bigger picture from that very small picture. Apostle Paul emphasized the need to be filled, the need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces humility, not arrogance, not superiority. Many times we also sense that there's this pride in the heart. No one is exempted. No one. When the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, we recognize that everything we have is blessing from the Lord. That is our lesson yesterday, actually. Whatever we've got comes from the Lord. Do you think that? This is why we are we encourage when we give to the church, giving the tithes and offering, tithes of God in our offering, it should be inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not reluctance. And you feel like you're reluctant to give, don't give. Pray first. You feel like you're under compulsion. Oh, pastor might be preaching again about tithes and offering again. I don't like to hear that. Don't give. That is not how we should give. You're wasting your money because God would not bless you with that. Yesterday, the men were talking about giving. During the pandemic, there was no time for us to collect tithes and offering. But some of them, some of you, you accumulated the tithes of God. Save it so that when the right time comes, you would give. Someone said, when I look at that tithes that I save, it was so big, so large. Wow, Lord. And there's that mindset, will I give this? This is so big, I can buy a new car here with this tithes. That's the problem of waiting before you give. Someone said, you heard this story before, maybe. Lord, if you only give me a salary of $1 million a month, I would give 10% of it, 100,000 a month. And then when he had that money, Lord, this is so big, 100,000. How will the leader of the church use this? Will I give it? Will I not? See? Did the Lord know that we have hesitation to give his tithes when we earn more? When we see that you are giving bigger when you have more money. Think about that. Just imagine yourself. You are a millionaire. Indeed, you are a millionaire today, but tomorrow you die. What would you think? Do you think like, why did I not use that million to enjoy myself before I die? Would you be thinking about that? But if you say, well, it's just money, I would like to see the Lord, then you know that everything you have comes from the Lord. If you have that mindset that everything we have comes from the Lord, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So when you give, make sure the requirement in the New Testament, give it cheerfully. Well, I'm cheerful to give only $1. Well, how does that speak to your faith in the Lord? The more you give, the more you receive, the more you are blessed. Think about that. When the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, we recognize that everything we have is blessing from the Lord. So when you have reluctance, do not give. When you are under compulsion, do not give. Let's learn from the example of King David, how he exemplified his devotion to God. When he gave during the time when he was planning to preparing for the temple to be built, although King Solomon built it, but King David prepared for that. The materials to be used in the temple, it was King David who prepared it. Gave precious stones, iron, bronze, timber. He provided everything for that to be used in the building of the temple. How much did David give? It says 110 tons of gold. 110 tons of gold. What's that? One ton is 1,000 kilogram. 110,000 kilograms of gold and 260 tons of silver. Now, if you are to convert that in Canadian dollar, how much? It is almost $10 billion in this, the price, the current price of gold and silver. $10 billion. Just, that is just from King David. It's not, if you read the Bible, the leaders have also, were also inspired to give. But we are talking about King David. But reflect on the life story of King David. King David, where did he come from? He was a poor shepherd. Actually, the sheep that he was taking care before, it was not his inheritance. He had seven brothers, and they were thinking of dividing. Maybe his inheritance is just 1, 2, 3 lambs. I don't know. He may have be able to have that. I don't know. Because there are more brothers he had. He had also sisters. How can a former shepherd, poor shepherd, give 110 tons of gold to God? How? It narrated in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. In this chapter, you can read through the dedication or the prayer of King David, but I just took a portion of it. Let's read verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. Ruler, you are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generous as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Think about that. Can you go back to verse 12? Read this, and may you memorize this. Wealth and honor come from you. Do you crave for wealth? Do you crave for honor? It comes from God. King David acknowledged his wealth and honor came from God. It is by faith that we believe that this is a reality. If this reality cannot sink in deep in your innermost being, pray for increase of faith to believe it. Wealth and honor comes from God. I know many people try to go and make themselves rich. Well, they can. But wealth and honor that would last comes from God. Obedience to the Lord is impartial way of giving his blessing to obedient believers. When we obey, it is when we receive much of his blessing. Can you sincerely believe that? What do we have that God may accept if we give him? If we give him, what is it that comes from us that God would accept? Nothing. Nothing that originates from human sinfulness is acceptable to the perfect and righteous God. Only things that righteous comes from righteousness and perfect that comes from God, those are the things that God would accept. So when you give the tithes of God, if you think that it comes from you, God would reject that. Don't give. It's a waste of time. Use it for your personal thing instead. But if you know that what you give to God comes from God, then that is when the Lord bless you. The Lord would bless us. We believe that the Lord gave what we offer him. That is what we believe. That is what we preach in this church. Don't give because we preach about giving. Give because it is your faith. You believe that what you give is from God. And you just show your gratitude, your faith in him. That is how you give. The Lord does not need anything from us. He doesn't need anything that originates from human sinful nature. He doesn't need. He needs something that comes from him that he gave us, and we give back a portion of it. When we are inspired by his Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we serve God. We worship God. We give his tithe. We give our offerings. Now, what is tithe and offering? What is the difference? The tithe is 10% of your income. Offering is beyond that. 10.5, that 0.5 would be your offering. In the offering, you are not compelled to give to the church. You can give anybody to anybody, to a missionary or anything else, but give to God his tithes. The celebration of the Lord's Supper, it should remind us of the love of God for us. We have sinned. We were sinners. Yet he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross. That empty cross represents Christ died, was taken off the cross, was buried, and he resurrected. If you look at that empty cross, you know that Christ is alive. Because he is preparing a place for you and me in heaven. When he returns, he takes us into heaven. And by faith, we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And we have that confidence that when he returns, he takes us into heaven. We are sinners saved by grace of God. So that by faith in Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, we will live with God forever. Amen. Do you expect Christ to return sooner? Have you stored up treasures for yourselves in heaven? When Christ returns, do you sincerely expect to receive praise from God? That should be our mindset. That's our lesson for today. Should I expect praise from God when Christ returns? So that everything we do at home, at work, in school, in every situation, am I doing this, thinking of this, saying this, because I expect praise from God? As our leaders come and join me here, take this time and reflect on that.